Brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is God's word. Please be seated. So the couple years before I came here to St. John, when I was going to the seminary, I worked at a restaurant called Baker Street in Fort Wayne. And when I worked there, I worked with a number of single mothers. And I don't know why, I suppose it was defensiveness. But whatever the reason, it seemed as though those single mothers were constantly talking about how the father or fathers of their children were good dads. Playing with their children when it happened to be convenient for them gave them the status of good dad. They probably were good, at least for a few moments, at making their children giggle. They enjoy the cuteness of their kids. They mainly like their children, even if they find them largely inconvenient and easy to forget. So these so-called good dads tended to be terrible, if not completely worthless providers. They rarely, if ever, would pay for their children's food. They didn't change diapers or help around the house. And they certainly didn't teach their children the ABCs of the Christian faith, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, or the Lord's Prayer, even though that is the calling of every Christian man who has the honor of being called father. But since they sometimes enjoyed their children, and their children desperately enjoyed the fleeting moments of their attention, those moms judged those guys to be good dads. And I suppose, depending on your definition of good, maybe they are. If nothing else, they seem to be good at impregnating girls that they had no intention of marrying. They seem to be good at snubbing the incredible and undeserved gift of fatherhood. So that little tirade is meant to introduce the difficulty we have in understanding our Lord's proclamation that He is the Good Shepherd. Dictionary.com lists at least 41 ways that good can be used as an adjective in the English language. Now, not all of those can be applied to the Good Shepherd. By my count, about 20 of them can be, though. But, of course, the Lord didn't say in English, I am the Good Shepherd. If we go back 2,000 years, Jesus probably spoke in Aramaic, although it is possible that He spoke in Hebrew and remotely possible is that He spoke in Greek. And in one sense, it really doesn't matter what language Jesus spoke in. The Holy Spirit has given us Jesus' words in Greek. And what the Holy Spirit gives is authoritative. So you may as well learn a Greek word today, okay? Because you're going to hear it quite a bit. The word here translated good is that word kalos. Jesus is the kalos shepherd. So those dirtbag dads might be good dads, depending on what we mean by the word good. But they would never, ever be considered kalos dads. And that's the distinction we need to keep in mind. What makes Jesus the Kalos shepherd? So there's this romantic notion of the good shepherd that thinks the good shepherd the same way that those single moms think of those dirtbags. So what makes Jesus the good shepherd is his affection, his warmth, and his fondness for the sheep. So as that comparison goes, a good dad is a dad who likes the fun parts of being a dad. So a good shepherd is one who likes to pet and cuddle sheep for his own enjoyment, amusement. He is very good at deriving pleasure from other people. And so that's why I don't really like a lot of the artwork and iconography that this passage has inspired. Okay, so humor me. Take a moment. Okay, everyone close your eyes. Okay? When I say the words, the good shepherd, what kind of image pops into your head? I bet it's probably something like this. We're inclined to think of Jesus, the good shepherd, as a glassy-eyed sentimentalist with his arms full of cuddly lambs, and that generic English adjective, good, does nothing to dissuade us from this sort of delusion. Now, in fairness, though, I will say that this image of God is not completely out of place. The Lord does, in fact, hold you in deep affection. He does love you as a father loves his children. He also loves you as a husband loves a wife. He loves you as a brother and a friend. His bond and love for you embraces all the ways that humans love, but he loves more purely, without self-interest or jealousy or fear. So there is nothing wrong with thinking of Jesus as the kindly, gentle lover of the sheep. Fine. But as correct as that sentimental thinking might be, it just isn't what Jesus is talking about. He isn't saying, I am the gentle lover of the sheep. He is saying, I am the Kalos shepherd. So in short, this vision of Jesus as gentle lover of the sheep misses the entire point. You know, these paintings that I just put up there, they're closer. But even they don't do the Kalos shepherd justice. They pay too little attention to the key passage, the key words of Jesus. I laid down my life for, in the place of, in behalf of, the sheep. So Jerry, this is a call to your wife. We are in desperate need of a good shepherd artwork that is faithful to the words of Jesus. The goodness of our shepherd is not in his affection and warmth that he has towards us, although he certainly does have that towards us. But it's in his obedience to his Father and the sacrifice in place of his sheep. And if his affection is the cause of his sacrifice, then note this. It is not his affection for us, but his affection for his Father. And so when we consider that, that's a really tough lesson when we've been raised on the cotton candy Christianity of the gentle lover of the sheep. The Lord can make this claim that he is the Kalos shepherd, the good shepherd, for one reason and one reason only. His faithful obedience and sacrifice. The good shepherd, the Kalos shepherd, is the true shepherd because he gave his life for the life of the flock. In your defense, the shepherd lays down his life, that by his death you are saved. He overcomes the wolf by filling the wolf's mouth with his own body, and so saves the sheep from being devoured and scattered. And so this is the defining characteristic of the good, true, and noble shepherd, beautifully and uniquely fit for his purpose, one of a kind, competent, worthy of praise. All that is confessed in that one word, Kalos. The word good just doesn't cut it. We are among the one flock of the one and only Kalos shepherd. Jesus is the kind of shepherd that other shepherds would think to be an absolute fool. I mean, think about it. What shepherd thinks that the life of the sheep is more important than his own? What kind of shepherd, to save his flock, would gladly and willingly throw his body between the lambs and the wolves and say to the wolves, "Go ahead, sink your fangs into my flesh instead of these dear sheep. Spill my blood instead of theirs." What kind of shepherd loves the sheep with a love so true, so good, so kalos, that he would sacrifice his entire self for them? None. Of course, except for Jesus. None but our Lord Jesus Christ. That shepherd of the sheep who laid down his life for his dear lambs. Lambs like you, who don't deserve it. Your good shepherd provides you with everything you have, body and soul. And yet you refuse to be content in the lush green pastures where he has placed you in this life. You spy that the grass is greener on the other side. Those sheep on the other side have freedom. They have capable and respectful husbands. They have gorgeous wives. They have successful children and better paying jobs. Your Kalos shepherd has made your wool as white as snow. And yet you are not sheepish about dirtying the wool of your fellow sheep with your words, pulling the wool over men's eyes, twisting every story to make your own wool glow and gleam, lying when you ought to confess, and revealing other men's lies to make your own wool seem that much whiter than theirs. Your shepherd says that his sheep will listen to him. And yet your mind is probably straying far afield at this very moment. He says that his sheep will know him. And yet so few of you come to ruminate on his rich, lush words in Bible studies. Your good shepherd has given into the care of you rams and ewes, little lambs. But how often do you converse with your little lambs about their good shepherd and his words and what it means to be a sheep of the good shepherd? The good shepherd has given you a pastor. As we heard in the children's message, pastor means shepherd. How often have you sought out Christ's under-shepherd for godly counsel and wisdom? Repent, for you are sheep going astray, ripe for slaughter. Return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, for he has laid down his life for you. And nowhere in all of Scripture has this truth been more beautifully conveyed than in the 23rd Psalm. How is that? Isn't Psalm 23 just about us as Christians lying down in green pastures and going by still waters? But let's not take that way of interpretation for Psalm 23, that romantic and sentimental interpretation about the gentle shepherd of the sheep for Psalm 23. Let's interpret it in light of Jesus, how Jesus would have us interpret it, the Kalos shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." So Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That you might say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus' crucified corpse was laid down within a tomb so that you might say, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Jesus said, I thirst. so that you might say, He leadeth me beside still waters. Jesus said, It is finished, and gave up His Spirit so that you might say, He restoreth my soul. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, the unrighteous one, for 40 days. And He was led to Mount Calvary, where our unrighteousness was hammered into Him, that you might say, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That you might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. Jesus walked it first. He laid down His life in death and took it up again, that you might fear it not. The rods and whips of Roman soldiers battered Him, so that His rod and staff might comfort you. Jesus drank only the bitter cup of His Father's wrath against sin, that your cup might runneth over, filled to the brim and more with abundant and eternal life and love. Have no fear, little flock, for He who is known by the Father knows you, calls you by name, joined His name to yours in holy baptism, and has made you His own. All this He does for you. And because He is the Kalos Shepherd, you have been made Kalos sheep. He has the authority to lay down His life for you. He has the authority to take His life up again for you. And so He did 2,000 years ago. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, shall precede you, shall be on your right and your left, above you and below you, all the days of your life. And you shall dwell in the flock of the Lord forever. The Lord is your shepherd. He is good. He is Kalos, and He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And so be it. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.